and welcome to the Bucket Lister podcast. Join your host, Keith Crockford, along with special guests who have traveled the world, here to share stories of their adventures and plenty of inspo to add to your bucket list. Now, let's get into today's episode.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Bucket Lister podcast. I am your host, Keith Crockford, and today I am doing a rather shorter version of the podcast than I had planned because I was planning on interviewing someone for this week's podcast, but unfortunately, at the last minute, she has come down with a very nasty bug and can't be on the podcast for me today. So I'm going to record a quick episode today just so this week goes out, and then I will be back interviewing my special guest at another time to bring that one to you because I am really looking forward to that interview. So I don't want it to go to waste, but I also need to make sure that I keep up with my routine of having an episode out every week. And this was one episode I was going to do in a few weeks' time, so I'm just bringing that one forward. And what I wanted to look at were, I suppose, my top 10 multi-day treks around the world, because at the Bucket List Company, that's what we were known for at the start, was multi-day trekking. We were a trekking company. We started off with the Inca Trail, with Everest Base Camp, with Kilimanjaro, with Mount Toucal. They were kind of our first four ever treks that we did. So we've always been known for our multi-day trekking. So I thought I would look at my top 10 multi-day treks around the world. Some of these we currently offer. Some of these we are looking at offering. Some of these might be a little bit controversial when you look at other people who have this list on a blog or on their website. But these are my ones, and they kind of do tie in with most with a few changes. So the first one I'm going to start off with then is the Salkantay Trek in Peru. Now, if you go onto most other people's lists, they will have the Inca Trail. And obviously, I've been very vocal in the past on my kind of my thought process on which trek I would choose, whether I would choose the Lares, the Salkantay, or the Inca Trail trek. And if I had to pick the best one to go and do, then I think I would have to say it would need to be the Salkantay trek. Now, the Salkantay trek is around about a 60-kilometer trek, between 60 and 70, depending on where you're starting from. And it will take you 5 days and four nights to do a Salkantay trek, which compared to the Inca Trail, which is a four-day trek and is 43 kilometers. So the Salkantay, I always think, is harder than the Inca Trail. But the reason why I've put the Salkantay trek in there as one of my top 10 multi-day treks is because of A, the scenery, and B, also how quiet it is as well compared to the Inca Trail. So that's why the Salkantay comes in. And these aren't a list in order of 1 to 10, of the top 1 to the bottom 1. I'm just giving you my top 10. So there are no preferences on these 10. I think they should all appear on your bucket lists. So number 2 for me is Kilimanjaro has to get in there on the best multi-day treks around the world. Obviously, depending on what you want to do. And sorry, just to go back to the Salkantay trek, obviously that is a camping trek. You will have porters or mules carrying your kit for you, and all your food will be prepared and you'll have it in the camps, apart from the last night where you will stay in Aguas Calientes and then get the bus up to Machu Picchu in the morning. So back to number 2, which is Kilimanjaro. I think this should be on everyone's bucket list. Like, I've had 15 ascents of Kilimanjaro now. I love Kilimanjaro. It's one of my favorite treks around the world. And I think it should be on everyone's bucket list. I know a few people who have done it twice. I know a few people who are going to go and do it for their second time. But, you know, just to tick it off once is a great achievement, and one which I think, you know, like I say, should be on everyone's list if you haven't already done it. Trekking distance wise, again, it's going to depend on which route you're doing, how many days you're on the mountain for, but on average, you're around about 70 kilometers is a Kilimanjaro trek. Obviously, it's 5,895 meters tall. There are 9 different routes on the mountain. 8 of those are camping. 1 of them is in the huts. And obviously, we've done loads of podcasts on Kilimanjaro and the different routes that we've done in the past. So I'm not going to go into any more details on those. But Kilimanjaro, porters will carry all your equipment. You'll have your food cooked for you. And like I say, that will either be in the dining tent or if you're doing the Marangu route in one of the dining rooms itself. Number 3 on my list, if you look at most people's lists, they say that Everest Base Camp is one of the top multi-day treks. But I've kind of added a bit to this and said that it's Everest Base Camp in Gokyo Lakes is my preference on that list. Now, Everest Base Camp Gokyo Lakes roughly is a 16-17 day trek. Around about 100 to 115 kilometers. And the reason why I've added the Gokyo Lake section is because I think the up and back route of Everest Base Camp, by doing a more circular route and adding in Gokyo Lakes, just adds more to it into the trek itself. So that's why I think the Gokyo Lakes one should be added to the list. A, the lakes are stunning. B, you still get to go and do Everest Base Camp. Personally, my preference is to do Base Camp and then around to Gokyo and come back down. Obviously, with an Everest Base Camp trek, you are staying in tea houses for the whole way. Porters will carry your equipment. You can choose from a menu in the tea house of what you want to eat every day. But obviously, you can do Everest Base Camp without a guide. You can do it on your own. There was talk last year of making it compulsory to have guides, but that kind of hasn't come in yet. So you can still head out and get your permit and do it yourself. But that's why I think Everest Base Camp in Gokyo Lakes is the one that needs to be on your list. And if you're heading out and you've got the time, and obviously that is the problem with the Everest Base Camp Gokyo Lakes trek, it is such a long trek. And people do struggle, obviously, to get that leave off work because, you know, it does come in at around about a 20-day trip by the time you 21 day trip by the time you've added your flights in. So that's a 3-week holiday. So just consider that one. Number 4 on my list coming into Europe is the Tour de Mont Blanc. Obviously, it's just one of the most stunning treks within Europe. A journey across France, Italy, and Switzerland. Typically, you can do it on your own or you can do it guided. We've just launched this as one of our trips. You are staying in mountain huts or guest houses generally on the way. You can arrange, if you're doing it with a guided trip, that your baggage will be moved daily between the locations. Or obviously, you can do it completely unsupported if you wanted to. But it is an absolutely stunning trek through the Alps. You know, super easy to get to it from the UK. And again, one that if you're looking to do, you know, is a great trek to do sort of September to, you know, May, June, September time. You know, it is a very special trek to go and have a look at. So if you've never done any trekking in the Alps, A, go and do some. But if you wanted to do a slightly longer trek, then the full Tour de Mont Blanc is around about 170 kilometers and it'll take you around about 10 to 11 days. Next on my list, we're heading back to Nepal. And I had a long conversation with somebody on the phone about this week, and that's the Annapurna Circuit trek. Now, the Annapurna Circuit is, again, a stunning trip. The reason why I love it is because it is a circuit, unlike the Everest Base Camp trek up and back. I do like the Annapurna circuit for that reason. I think the scenery down there is stunning. It is not as busy as an Everest base camp trek. And I mean, we've had a really, so far this year, we've had an okay season for flights going to Lukla. But if you remember my podcast from last autumn, where we were having issues in Lukla with planes going, you don't have those issues on the Annapurna circuit trek. So, you know, flights generally, if you did want to fly, are a lot more stable than the flights to Lukla, because you're not having to fly fully through the mountains to get back from Pokhara. But also you can drive, you know, easily from the start and finish point if you needed to, for the Annapurna circuit trek. So should the weather be really bad, you can still get in and out if you need to. Very similar to Everest Base Camp in terms of you'll be staying in tea houses. You can choose your food off the menu. Pretty similar distance in times scale. You're looking at about 12 to 13 days for an Annapurna circuit trek. And also, if you wanted to, you can have porters to carry your main bag. So you only need to do your day pack if you wanted to. So the Annapurna circuit is one that I definitely think should be on your list. Moving back to Europe again, and this is one that I'm working really hard to try and work out how I can add this into our list of treks. But this time we're heading to Corsica and looking at the GR20. It's a 15-day roughly trip. It's approximately 180 kilometers. And you're pretty much going from the northwest down to the southeast and going right across the country. People say it's the hardest hiking trail in Europe. It is a tough one. It is quite a difficult trek, and one that is just, again, super stunning to go and do it. It doesn't really make any difference whether you go from north to south or if you go from south to north. I think I would go again north to south. You are camping or staying in refuges. You need to carry all of your kit for this one. You can't have your kit carried around for you, or you can't get a porter on it. So you do need to be completely self-supported on this. And then also, you know, meals, you can get meals at the refuges, but you're also going to be carrying stuff as well, and you can restock on the way. So I would love to add this in as a trip for the bucket list company. It's just how we're going to do it, and one that I'm going to spend some time this year trying to think about. And I think it could maybe just be a one-off trip that we do, but I would really like to do it. And I know that there's some of our customers at the bucket list company who have also shown a real interest in this one. So I think it's one that we could possibly think about doing in the future. So if you're interested in that, keep your ears to the ground, because we might come out with that one in time to come. Next one is another one. Obviously, I was out in Iceland when was I out there? Last month. And, you know, just an absolutely stunning country. And we did our Best of Iceland trip. And, you know, we want to be doing some more trekking out there. And one of the treks we are going to look at is the Lugavuga trek. And again, you can stay in huts. You can carry your food, because facilities are limited. Porters for this one aren't an option. There isn't anyone in Iceland that's going to carry your bags. But luggage can be transported around. It's roughly a 4 to 6 day trek, and is around about 55 kilometers. But you know, it is an absolutely stunning trek. The area to walk around the south where you're walking is just absolutely beautiful, really quiet. And again, super simple to get through, get to from the UK. Trekking would be in the summer, so sort of July and August time is when you'd be heading out to look at doing that this trek. And again, like I said, one that we are going to be looking at in the future of adding that one into to our trips as well. So if you are keen to do some trekking in Iceland, again, keep an eye out in the future and we will be looking at that one. Number eight on my list, and I've never done this one, and it has fascinated me for a long, long time, and one that we are going to be adding to our trips, probably starting from next year. And we're probably not going to do the whole thing because it's a long, long way, but we are going to be doing a section of it, and that is the Camino de Santiago in Spain. Now, the full trip is around about 780 kilometers in around 30 days, which, again, I don't think we're going to have too many takers potentially to go and do the full thing, which is why we're going to then look at doing a shorter version of it. Now, the Camino de Santiago originally obviously was a spiritual journey, but also it is going to become a physical one as well. Obviously, it is a massive pilgrimage that people take, but obviously the areas that you are trekking through, it has also become a hit on lots of hikers' lists as well, rather than taking that original pilgrimage. I've got in the coming weeks, I'll be interviewing somebody on this podcast who is an expert on the Camino de Santiago, and we are going to discuss it, look at the trek, and this is the person who is going to hopefully be running our trips when we launch them, because she has actually done her doctorate in, and she did it as part of the Camino de Santiago. So she is the expert on it and now organizes treks onto it as well. So we're going to tap into that. Number nine is, again, I've put this one in and it's completely different to what we do, and one that me thinking about doing this podcast has got me thinking that maybe we should be adding this trek into our list of trips to do as well. And that's the Toubkal circuit. Now, obviously we do Mount Toubkal. We go up and back. And I think we should be adding in the Toubkal circuit for one of our trips. The Toubkal circuit is 6 to 7 days, whereas our trek is only 4 days. The Toubkal circuit is 57 kilometers, whereas on a standard Toubkal, you're looking at around about 40 kilometers. So I think it's one that we should start to look at. You basically trek all the way around Mount Toubkal, coming back around to the refuge, climb Mount Toubkal, back down, and then head down to Imlil. So you kind of, as you come around the back of Mount Toubkal, come round to the refuge, summit Mount Toubkal, and then head back down. But it's one that I think we should be looking at adding to our list of trips as well. So I'm going to be having a chat with Jake when he gets back from Everest Base Camp about looking at adding that trip into our list as well. This trek, it can require camping. You can stay in the refuge and in Berber houses as well. So your kit will be carried by porters and mules, and that obviously makes it slightly easier. Obviously, to summit Mount Toubkal and to be trekking in the national park now, you do need to have a local guide with you. So yeah, just have a think about that one. And then finally, my last trek, and this one is heading back out to South America and heading back to Chile and Patagonia, and that's the W trek at Torres del Paine in Patagonia. It's a 5-day trek, around about 100 kilometers. It's one that we do as part of our Patagonia trip, and it is an absolutely epic trek. Now, obviously, we did a podcast on this with Dave, who took us through this, but you know, accommodation is refuge style accommodation, either dormitories or in campsites. You can have your meals pre-booked at the refugios in the evenings, but it is generally a self-supported trip in terms of carrying your own kit.
Porter's services is available, but it's super, super expensive. So, you know, you might want to, you know, so you are going to have to carry all your own kit for those 5 days that you are walking. But it is an absolutely, again, stunning trip. And one that you should be adding to your bucket list as well. So there we are, my top 10 of place of multi-day treks around the world. There's a few there in Nepal. There's several there in Europe. There's a couple in South America. And then there's a couple in Africa as well, just to finish it all off. Obviously, there are plenty of other treks around the world, but those are my kind of my top 10. Some of those are currently on our list where we go, and some of them, like I said, keep your eyes peeled, because I would love to add things like the GR20 to our list. And we are seriously talking about the Camino de Santiago as well. So hopefully that will be of interest to some of you who are listening to this podcast. But that's it from me. I now need to go and pack my bag, because tomorrow I am heading out to Vietnam and Cambodia with a group, which I am really looking forward to. And obviously that's going to be a podcast, or at least one podcast, maybe if not two podcasts, when I get back from that trip, to keep you informed about what we got up to on that Trailblazer trip, because it is the first one we've done to Vietnam and Cambodia. So I am super looking forward to taking a group out and showing them everything that it has to offer. That's it from me this week. I'll be back with another episode next week. But until then, thank you very much and goodbye. Good night.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Bucket Lister podcast. Be sure to click follow to be alerted for next week's episode. For more travel inspiration, check us out at www.thebucketlistcompany.co.uk or follow us on socials. See you next time.